Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Prophecy Zone. My name is Phil Armstrong. For the next hour and 30 minutes, actually 29 minutes, we're going to be talking about Bible prophecy. We are on a Sunday night. I hope everybody's having a wonderful night, a blessed evening, and a happy still new year, because it's still new, but the years seem to fly. Expectations are high for conflict in 2010, says Analyst Network. Israel is providing her 4.5 million citizens with anti-weapons of mass destruction mass. Israel Defense Minister Ehud Barak is expecting a war with Hezbollah and Iran by the end of next March. Now, let me tell you all the significance of this. It is big time significance that Israel is preparing for war. Because I believe in my heart that God is on the verge of intervening back in history. Let me continue with this, and then I'll explain. The Israel army fears that Hezbollah may launch missiles with biological and chemical warheads. Israel confirmed that it responded, Israel confirmed that its response would include southern Lebanon, the suburb of Beirut, and Baca Valley in the heart of Gaza Strip. So there is a war that's supposed to take place that will involve the whole Middle East. But first it will start off with a conflict. Now remember back in 2006 there was a conflict between Israel and actually Israel had invaded Gaza and just recently, and then in 2006 they invaded Lebanon. And a lot of people were looking at that, but I believe the next conflict people will kind of like not really look at. They will look at it sideways and won't really think it's going to amount to anything, but it will. This article is about a week old, 2 weeks old. And they talk about preparing for war, but they're going to be having a mock drill. I have another article here talking about a mock drill. Now, it says next Wednesday and Thursday, Israel will carry out the most exclusive training exercise in its history. The aim is to prepare the country for a potential threat of biological and chemical weapons, which her neighbors will try to use. The military and the political experts for Iran and Hezbollah might launch and Jewish weapons at the Jewish state. The exercise is called Orange Flame, and its name was given because of a campaign that Israel figured that it needed for precautions. Now, this along with the third temple is they are preparing the third temple to be built, and that is fast approaching us. The Temple Institute is preparing for to build the third temple, and they can have it up in weeks. Okay, now war preparations. It says Israel to outfit entire population with masks, and I've already talked about that. And that's the most important signal. Now, the Russians are supporting Syria big time. They are helping Syria with reactors. They're helping Syria with weapons. They're helping Syria to build bases. The Russians are helping Syria big time. Now, the point is that if there is a small skirmish between Israel and Hezbollah, and Syria had just recently said that they would join in this war. And you can find that in the Jerusalem Post. Just go type in Syria, Israel, and that article will come up. Now, I believe that the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39 will transpire prior to the tribulation period beginning. And the way I think that will, we're going to use the word of God, and we're going to look at why Russia invaded Israel. Now, the Bible talks about hooks in the jaws of the Russian army in their Confederacy. What are the hooks? Now, I've heard many people say that the hooks is oil. I've heard many people say the hooks was the riches. And the Bible said that they had come to take a spoil. Russia and their confederation has come to take a spoil. But why is the true reason why Israel got invaded by Russia? And when we come back, we're going to talk about that.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, and Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday and Saturday at 7 o'clock as we talk about end time prophecy in line with the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone.
Unblock Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same? Because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey, everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. I'm going to let y'all know that I have kids in the background upstairs, and And I got almost a 2-year-old, and he likes to run things, but he doesn't get his way, so he throws little tantrums, built-in tantrums, the kind of tantrums you really can't solve with legislation. You got to just wait until it passed by. And but if you hear him screaming, that's probably him just up there trying to regulate things. He got a 7-year-old brother he likes to beat up. So I hope y'all understand. Now, what is the reason why? Now, I'm going to go off the deep end right here, and I'm going to tell you what I believe. I do believe that Jesus Christ's first coming was in the fall. His first coming, with all the things that transpired about his first coming, translated in the spring. We call it the spring feast. And I do believe that when Jesus Christ gets ready to come back, he'll come back in for his church, and I do believe in a rapture. He will come back for his church in the fall. And I think a lot of the tribulation period will end in the fall, because if you start with a rapture and a couple of days later the Antichrist signs a covenant, it's going to still be in the fall. So the end of the world, or the end of time, the world will never end. It's just the system that we're under. And it cracks me up how you get these guys. And I like Jack Van Impe. Trust me, I really like Jack Van Impe. But he gets rattled when people say that there is the end of the world. And I do too. And the reason why I get rattled, though, is because, you know, people like to make a big deal out of Christians saying at the end of the world. But when you have a 2012 movie, it's fine. You can say the world's going to blow up in 2 seconds. But leave out the fact that you can give somebody 7 years to repent. We just want the world to blow up, because it's so far-fetched that we don't believe it's going to blow up anywhere in 2012. And I'm going to talk about 2012 before we go off. But let me clarify why I do, but what I think is going to happen this year, next year, the year before. And if you get scared, then fine. And hit your knees and start praying for the nation, because Hades is coming to a city near you. Okay? So what we must understand is that there are going to be small conflicts in a span of 12 months or less. I say 8 months. So I believe if this is the year, and I believe what I mean by that is that no man knows the day and hour. Of course, it doesn't take a Yale University to figure out the year. So if you see things kick off, God says when you see these things coming, look up for your redemption draws near. That means he's trying to say that there's a time period where you actually can tell when it is. And people don't believe that. But see, what I believe is that, this is just me, I believe that the Russian invasion of Israel will correlate with the rapture of the church. People, oh, there's no rapture. Yes, I believe that the Russian army will invade Israel. Simultaneously, Jesus will destroy the Russian army and take the church out. That's why people will say, well, the Christians either got taken up by UFOs or they just got smashed by a new weapon. A lot of lies going on at that time. But back up. So this, let me say this. If this war, and I'm predicting, and I do predict sometime, I predict that whenever the Russian war takes place and Russia invades Israel, I believe it would be in September. And I would have to do another show. Go back to my June show and you'll figure that out, because I went into details about the fall feast. But the feast, before the feast, actually it could also take place in August, but it depends on how the calendar comes out. Now, if Israel's invaded, say like it's this year, if Israel's invaded by the Russian army in the early part of September this year, that means if you back up to about March or April or May, you're going to get a small conflict between Israel, and Israel's going to do a campaign, the same type of campaign that they've already done before. And this can happen next year. So whenever, whatever year Jesus will come back for his church, and the Russian armies will come in and invade Israel, and there'll be minor earthquakes in diverse places and pestilence and things like that. Whatever year it is, and I'm sorry to tell you faith movement people that the world is coming to an end one of these days. And they give you a little bit of that, and then they go off and say, send me $5,000. Well, you might want to leave that church if you don't understand what I'm saying right now. But what I'm trying to tell you is that there are going to be minor wars before the Russian war. And it might even be a temporary peace agreement, because remember, the Antichrist shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So he strengthens a already existing covenant. If you hear the squeaks on the microphone, I apologize. But he's going to confirm an already existing covenant. And he's going to strengthen it, completely strengthen it. Okay? So when this happens, and so I'm going to go into order how I think it will happen, whatever year it is. Because I'm going to be off by the months and days and stuff. And I'm big time off. I'm not going to be right about the date. I might even be right. I might not even be right about the sequence, but it's close. So this is how I think it's going to happen. If it's this year, let's just use this year as an example. Around March and April, there'll be a conflict between Israel and its neighbors. Israel will start a campaign, and they will go straight through Lebanon, and they will take out Gaza completely. I'm talking about the people who are firing the rockets. But in the meantime, there'll be life expended. But see, Hezbollah will start shooting over their rockets. And they would get into chemical rockets. But see, Israel will do so much damage over a week or two that Syria will get involved. Okay? Now, Syria will start shooting off their chemical weapons. Okay? After this is happening, Israel and Syria will get into it and start fighting. Now, I don't know if the peace agreement will come before or after. Now, I'm going to say this, and I am just as dreadful for Haiti, for Damascus people, than I am for Haiti. Okay, so I'm not wishing nothing, because they got a lot of people out there who are preaching the gospel, who love to see. There's one guy, and I'm not going to mention his name, but I'm pretty sure a lot of y'all know him. There's going to be 2.5 billion people killed off the face of the earth. He just loves it. It's just like his whole ministry is about 2.5 billion people. Do you actually know that there are going to be more than 2.5 million people dead? There's going to be probably 1 billion people left when Jesus Christ comes back, because Jesus even said, if I didn't come, no flesh will be saved. So we have to listen to that. Now, Isaiah 17 talks about Israel. Now, how do you know it's Israel nuking Damascus? Now, you tell me who would have took out Damascus. You tell me. Is it the United States? Is it Syria? Is it Russia? Is it China? You think China would take out Damascus? I don't think so. I think this is Israel, but in Isaiah 17, it says, the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ravenous heap. Now, it's going to be a ravenous heap. That means that in today's technology, it was nuked. Now, do I have sorrow for these people? Yeah, I have sorrow for Damascus, but I have to teach the Bible class. I'm going to have to teach them today. Okay, so if you grab your Bible and you read in Isaiah 17, you're going to hear, it's going to say that the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city. Damascus is one of the oldest cities in the history of the world, if not the oldest for right now. Now, if you look at verse 13, it says, go back up to verse 12. It says, woe to the multitude. It says, woe to the multitudes of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the sea, and through the rushing of the nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chase of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And behold, at evening trouble, and behold, and before the morning, he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us. Now, in Ezekiel 38:39, it says that they come to take a spoil. The Russian army comes and invades Israel to take a spoil. And what God is saying in these last verses, which I kind of read it dyslexically, he's saying that he's kind of reversing the punishment. So they go in and they take a spoil and they try to take from Israel. But what happened is Israel ended up taking their stuff. And I think that's kind of funny myself, but Israel went in and took what was theirs, what was rightfully theirs. And I think that's funny. Now, I apologize once again for my son. He seems to know exactly when to pull the trigger as far as when he's going to go off, as soon as my show goes off, come on. And I think he goes like 3, 2, 1, and then he just starts acting up. But God is good, and God is going to keep us. Now, Psalms 83, it says, "Keep not thy silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God, for lo, thy enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head. It says, they have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consult against the hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederated against thee. And the tabernacle of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarans, and the Gebel and Ammon and the Amalek and the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. I cannot read sometimes. Tell you. Well, anyway, this is a list of nations that will come up against Israel in Psalms 83. Now, I don't hope I'm not mixing anybody up out there, but I believe that the Psalms 83 war will transpire and take place before Ezekiel 38:39. Now, in between these two, Psalms 83 and Ezekiel 38:39, I believe that Isaiah 17 will take place. Okay, I hope I ain't losing anybody. But I believe that this, whatever year it's going to, this takes place, and there's no biblical, it's just me. This is just my feeling that this is going to happen because of the fall feast. Now, let me try to explain the fall feast real quick. There are seven feasts four that have already took place, and there's three left. Okay, now, when Jesus died on the cross, there was a feast called Passover. And when he rose from the dead, it was first fruit. So, actually, this is what I'm going to do. I'm kind of debating. I'm sitting here, the Holy Spirit saying, no, don't go that direction. I'm going to have a show on the Feast of the Lord, because I'm kind of hesitant on going into this, because I have other things I want to talk about, really. But the Feast of the Lord, and I'll explain this. The last three feasts is the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Feast of Yom Kippur. Now,
if this is my belief. No man knows the day and hour, so don't beat me up on this one. But if Jesus was coming back, the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah is known as the feast that no man knows the day and hour, because there's a new moon, and the two witnesses have to come out and present to the Sanhedrin that it's a new moon. So if that is the case, then what? Let's say that the false feast would happen. Now, if you were to pick a specific day, no man knows the day and hour of them. So the message is to the Jewish people, because if the bride of Christ was taken out and we return back to Jacob's trouble, then the Jacob's trouble, or the Jewish people would know, or the Israeli people would know that the rapture took place because of Leviticus 23 and the feast. Because they're going to look back and say, wait a minute, okay, the bride comes in. And it works the same as an old wedding, Jewish wedding. When Isaac was to have a wife, Abraham sent Eliezer out to get a wife, and they found a wife for him. They bring the wife back to the father, to the lady's father, and they say, my son wants to marry your daughter. So they give her the father a diary. It says, my son will be back to get your daughter in blah 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 years. And they say, okay, that's fine. So he goes back and he goes to prepare a place for the daughter. And at a certain time, the person, the man, Isaac, comes and gets his bride and takes her home. But it's at a point in time only the father knew. So the father only knew it. And he came, the bride and his, the groom and his people will snatch the lady out and take her for 7 days into a bridal chamber, secret bridal chamber. And I'm going to break that down to you. The secret bridal chamber is heaven. The 7 days represent 7 years. Okay? Eleazar represented the Holy Spirit going out to find the bride. And Jesus was represented by Isaac. And you remember, Isaac was laid on the altar, and Abraham represented God the Father. But see, in this case, you didn't need to go on through it, because we are going to have a future Messiah anyway. So get up, Isaac. You can get up. But what happens at the rapture of the church is the Rosh Hashanah is also called the Feast of Trumpets. And at the last trump, this is going to happen. Let me take a break, and we're going to be right back.
What you just heard was an action.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. America's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at AnAmericanWarning.com. That's AnAmericanWarning.com.
Tonight tuned for an amazing show. You're listening to the Prophecies on Blog Talk Radio.
Soon.
We are in the last days.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
You're listening to The Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed 4 major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
Okay, we're back, I think. Okay, we're back. We might even accidentally jump back off again because I'm pushing the heck out this button on my switchboard, so hopefully we won't go back off. But I am going to be having some people on the show, guest hosts that from Blog Talk Radio, not from Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to have people from various resources, and probably next week I'm going to have Phoenix from Watchmen Chronicles. He's from Blog Talk Radio. We're going to be talking about Hades. We're going to be talking about the New World Order. We're going to be talking about harps. We're going to talk about the Mark of the Beast. We're going to talk about the Skull and Bones. various other good, nice, interesting stuff that matter of fact I talked to tonight. We had a good conversation. I was too busy trying to get ready for a show and watch the playoffs, and we just saw the Saints win, and I had to stare at the screen when he's kicking the last field goal. When I was talking, I kind of hesitated. I'm like, man, I don't even remember who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, let alone I'm going to mess up God's work to look at a kick. But it was kind of fun just to look at some competition, because the Jets kind of choked. Well, I wouldn't say. They actually played a good game. It actually showed more. It actually was a better game than the score represented. But the Guardian says that Putin to return to power could rule until 2024. Vladimir Putin dropped the heaviest hint so far that he aims to return to power to his former post as president in 2012. Now, he's running things already, I do believe. And I don't believe it's going to make a difference anyway, what's going to happen. But I could be straight up wrong about the timing, and I would love to be straight up wrong, because it gives me extra time to do things for the Lord. And I'm thinking the rapture of the church is going to be within 5 years or less, a lot less. I'm still thinking it's pretty quick on the horizon, within weeks or months away. And it could be within 5 years. So it could be within 10. But my best guess, if I had a rubber band and I kept pulling it, it's going to pop. And for you guys who love the world and say, well, I want to go through the tribulation period. Because you know what? You know what? I'm going to be honest with y'all. I have never seen a person who does not believe in the rapture. That means a person who does not believe that there is a rapture get excited to the point that, you know, I hope y'all right, man. I really hope y'all right. I have never seen one. I've never seen somebody that says, I hope you're right, man. I really, really, really hope you're right. And that really bugs me. And they don't use scripture. They don't use a lot of scripture they just use myths. They sort of say, well, you think God is just going to whisk you out of here, an emergency like us, you know, like, and I'm going to paraphrase it and make fun of them. You think the police just want you to wear seatbelts just in case you run into a truck and you get popped out the windshield and bust every doggone teeth you got? Or you think it would be wise to have an airplane airbag or some type of flotation device so you won't sink? Huh? Dude, I mean, give me a break. Do you really think that somebody, don't you think some people who don't believe in the rapture, don't you think they should be telling you, I hope it's true? I don't hear any. And then they don't use any scripture. They use three pieces of scripture, that's about it. And they love to stick in Matthew 24, which does not make any sense at all anyway, because the church was not here, there at the time. The church came in Acts. Oh, yeah, that's right. They get confused. They don't know the church from a hole in their butt. Oh, then let me bring it down to earth. They don't know the church from Israel. Now, I'm not calling Israel a hole. I mean, I love Israel. The Bible tells us to love Israel. I'm just being funny. But they don't know the difference between Israel. Who's on first? Who's on second? I don't know the difference between first and second and third and fifth. There is no fifth. Oh, yeah, okay. And I'm not being arrogant or nothing. I'm just saying, if you really think about God's nature, when Israel was with God, they were protected. No, I think that people will be preserved on earth. You really think that they're going to be preserved? Look, the Bible says that if you run running from a bear, you go into the house, put your hand on the wall, and you're tired, and there's a spider there. So it's saying wherever you're running, you can't run. The Bible says he shall frustrate the saints. So if he's frustrating the saints, anywhere they run, there is a new world order right there. That either just put you in a concentration camp and beat the crap out of you. Now, is that so much of a great thing? Oh, I want to be here during the tribulation period because I want to see Ray Ray graduate. Ray Ray is going to graduate. He's just going to get left behind. He's going to graduate. You should be raising him up the way he should go. And me too. I should raise my kids up the way they should go. But I'm going to tell y'all, folks, it's very important that we establish the fact that there is a blessed hope and there is a glorious appearance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to realize that God is with us. Now, this guy that I'm going to have on my show next week, named Phoenix, he does not believe in the rapture, so I'm still having him on the show anyway. Okay? You don't have to 100% agree with me. I just like arguing. Matter of fact, I just got delivered from, I'm born again, don't think I'm not born again, but I just got delivered and realizing that me and my wife like to have the last word. And I'll say that again. Me and my wife like to have the last word. Now, do you know what that amounts to? More arguments. And you know, there's another thing. There's a method to the madness of arguing. When you open up one can of worms to open up another can of worms to open up another can, it's like 3D in the fifth dimension. You argue about something, and next thing you know, you're arguing about something among something, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know. Now, I haven't looked at the chat room, and I'm sorry. I just wasn't even thinking about opening up a chat room. My hand, my finger just went over to the chat thing, and I'm so used to it. But anybody in the chat room, God bless you. Andrew Smith, how you doing, man? I talked to you before. He says the secret rapture is a false doctrine that originated with the Jewish priests. Attempt to disqualify the Pope as the Antichrist. It's a teaching called futurism. Yeah, it is a teaching called futurism. I know, I'm like this. Okay. I noticed that God was really protective of Israel. He sent a cloud by day and fire by night to protect Israel. And when Israel was with God, they were protected. When Israel was against God or did things that God did not like, they were not protected. And God has a way of protecting his people. Now, let's look at Lot, for instance. And God is going to do what God wants to do. Lot. The Bible says, it vexed Lot's righteous spirit. And I apologize to the person in the chat room, just not really. I'll address that in a minute, sir, in a second. I just need to say this thing. But, I'm sort of like doing like 50 things at one time. The person in Andrew Smith says, we who are in Christ are Israel. I think that the church, sir, is an individual entity. And I think we're grafted into, the Bible says that we're grafted into Israel. And it talks, let me look at my words. You got to go back, you got to go to the word. It says that we are engrafted into Israel. And what that means is that Abraham was the father of and an inheritance of many people. And remember, God told Abraham to count the number of grains on a beach or in the world. That's how many people, or the stars in the sky. That's how many people you would inherit. And in the future kingdom, the Messiah came through Abraham. And the church, remember he says, I will call, and the word of God, he says, I will call the people that are not my people, my people. Well, the church has become God's people through Abraham, but it originated, it actually finishes off at the cross, because we are grafted in at the cross. We're grafted in when we say, Jesus, would you come into my heart? Will you be my Lord and Savior? And I got to stress that point, Savior. Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior. That means he is all that. He is your commander in chief. You do, and I'm sorry, folks. I'm going to tell y'all this. I'm like the horse that you put you got to put the bit in the mouth and make him go in one place or the other. That's who I am. That's how I am like. Okay? I'm like that. And God has to get a hold of me that he can do the things that he needs to do in me. And the Bible says, let me flip gears right quick. But the Bible says that whoever called on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means whatever race you are, God. Remember Peter was sitting down on the top of a building, and the sheep came down, and there were different types of animals, and see, the Jewish culture was they were very picky about what they ate. And he said, go ahead and eat. Eat everything on that blanket, eat. He said, do not call unclean what I call clean. Or so God has given the Gentiles claim of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, God talks, he talked to the church in the first three chapters of Revelations. He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it in the Gospels. Now, he didn't say, I'll build my Israel. See, Israel still believed that there is no, that the Messiah, excuse me, the Messiah is coming. They don't believe that the Messiah had already came 2,000 years ago. So Israel, God has not excluded Israel. He's not done with Israel. The time of Jacob's trouble, that the tribulation period is going to cover, will be a 7-year period. Now, I am a dispensationalist, meaning I think that God deals with different people at different times. It's impossible for you to say that there is no dispensation. For instance, when Moses crossed the Red Sea with the Israelites, it was different from when Noah went into the boat in the ark. And closed the door and shut, and the whole bunch of people died. It was a different time. Now, that's a different time from when Jeremiah warned that we need to give ourselves back up to Babylon. That's the only way we're going to survive. And that time is different from Jesus. John the Baptist introducing Jesus, which is different from the time that Jesus died and rose from the dead. Was different from when Stephen says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. It's different from when John was on the Isle of Patmos. It's different from the future when Israel will be reborn as a nation. It's different. Those are different times, different dispensation of time. God actually deals with people even differently. God deals with people differently. He's dealing with
he has the United States as a nation that goes out and preach the gospel to all the ends of the earth. When he has the Russia, believe it or not, we're looking at Russia as you poor scums of the earth. But they are the ones taking care of the Jewish people. As a matter of fact, they're going to go back to the last place they're going to cut. They're going to leave Russia and go head back to Israel before the end time. Okay? So there are many dispensations, and God deals with people differently. So if God is dealing with Israel different than he is the church, then that's the only way you're going to see that there is a true rapture of the church. You can't say, the only thing that you can actually do is say that Israel and the church are the same. Therefore, you would have to say that the church, you're going to have to justify why the word church is not mentioned in after chapter 6 to chapter 19 to 20. You gotta justify that. And if you can't justify that, oh, the saints. Well, the saints is anyone who's set apart for God. God has mentioned the word church 19 times. And then you got to go and say, what did he say to the church of Philadelphia? He says, I will keep you out of the time of testing that is coming upon the whole world, out of. That means he's not. I cannot understand why people, and I love brothers and sisters, I love people, but I can't understand why in the world do they not come up to you and say, man, I hope there is a rapture, but you're wrong. Okay, I will accept that, but I can't understand why you want to be here so bad. You got a girlfriend, got a boyfriend, you're going to get married, you're going to build a house, you're going to move to Zimbabwe? What's the deal? I mean, I love you, brother, but...
Oh, it's an old doctor. You're listening to your old preacher.
No, I ain't. You can ask my wife. I'm the last person who's going to listen to my preacher. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior. It didn't tell me to look for the Antichrist. And the first person in chapter 6 is who? Oh, now you got to turn him into somebody, maybe the Pope.
Oh, yeah, that's the Pope of St. Agnew in the 3rd, 5th century with an arrow and pointing. And he actually has a diamond bow and nobody can see it. That's why they say that he has a bow with no arrow.
You know, just come on. If you really want to be here, have fun. I'll see you up, and I'll come to you and say, brother, let's have a hug. You say, well, that's not a first issue. That's a secondary issue. Well, I believe this. If you know that somebody's coming, I was in the military. If you know that they're going to have an inspection, you clean your house up. You go in there, you get the files all ready, you get everything ready. If we believe that Jesus Christ is coming back when he's on the horse and he's coming shining lights and bright, I can party like it's 1999 and be okay with it. Give me a sip of vodka and then I can repent. Of course, if I have a heart attack, I'd be blowing hell wide open. Look, folks, the way you get ready for the Super Bowl is to know that there's a Super Bowl. Let me say that again. The Indianapolis Colts and the New Orleans Saints is playing in the Super Bowl. The way you get ready for the Super Bowl, folks, I was sitting way back in my seat. Sorry about that. The way you get ready for the Super Bowl is you get ready for the Super Bowl. Okay? And I'm not trying to insult anybody's intelligence, but the way you get ready for Jesus Christ is coming is you get ready for Jesus Christ coming. Now, if you think he's coming back at the end, let me tell you what's going to happen in the tribulation period, okay, minus the rapture. Let's just say Russia does invade. Let's say Russia is pre-trib. Let's say Russia happens. Damascus is taken out of Russian invasion. Ezekiel 38, 39 happens. Let's say the Antichrist comes up. The financial institutions are all busted. He brings stability to the financial
and he also brings stability to the diseases that cause and the damage of earthquakes that have been happening. And let's say that he becomes a politician. So what he does is he comes up and he takes over the Middle East part of the Mediterranean Union. So he comes and he takes over the three regions out of the Middle East. Okay, so 3.5 years, so he actually gains power, okay? 3.5 years later, he becomes the true Antichrist. His colors will show. Okay, all of a sudden, all the things in Revelation start to come to fruition. All the meteors coming out of, you know, the angels flying through the sky, the scorpions running around. Yes, and I literally think those are big old horses running around biting people. I think we try to beg the point. The Bible's telling you that's what it is. The two witnesses in front of the Antichrist, they go outside and they shoot him and they drop dead and then they float away. And it sounds ridiculous, but the 144,000 people, Jews, vanish. They're gone. And let's say the whole hell breaks loose. There's darkness, there's grass burning, there's blah, 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 blah. And what did Jesus say? He said this. He says, if he wouldn't have came back, no flesh would be saved. You suppose we'd be looking for a rapture then? So we got to look for the Antichrist before we have a rapture? Oh, cool. Can I look for my Jesus Christ? Can I look for my Savior? Can I do that? I mean, can I please just look for my Savior? Now, I'm not trying to be funny either, but it says in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It didn't tell me to look for the Antichrist. There's nowhere in the Bible that tells the church to look for the Antichrist. Okay? Nowhere. We'll be back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same, because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars,
We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone.
Show. I had some soda in my mouth, so I'm kind of choking. But anyway, we're back. I have Andrew Smith on the line. He has a radio program on Blog Talk Radio, awesome program. I'm just glad to have him because I kind of lost him for a second. I wanted to favor him, but I still lost him for a second. So I'm glad to have him on the show. How you doing, brother?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for that introduction, too.
No problem.
I just wanted to, as you were talking about the rapture and end-time events, I wanted to direct to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, and I just wanted to see what your understanding of that passage was.
Daniel chapter 9, verse 27? 24
to
27. Okay. That verse on that area, I got a tore up Bible, man. So you're gonna have to. I got one of these Bibles that my wife makes fun of me when I'm carrying it around. I take it to church. It's kind of embarrassing. But if I'm not mistaken, that's the one where in the Bible it talks about he should confirm a covenant. It talks about the weeks.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I can't believe this, man. Well, anyway, yeah. My understanding of that is that there's a time allotted.
Well, okay. Well, can we? How about we read it first, and then maybe you can just.
Okay. Let me hold on for a second, because my 2 year. I apologize for that, man. My 2 year old is upstairs, and he's there. He is, Daniel. I got tabs on my Bible, and the tabs are becoming unfaithful to me. Okay, now you want to start at 24, sir?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll go ahead and read that, and you read 25. These are big verses. Okay. All right, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquities, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most High.
Okay, all right. And so verse 24, if we can just kind of summarize that.
So 70
weeks are determined upon the Jewish people. Here Gabriel is talking to Daniel, Daniel being a Jew during captivity, and in the time of the Medo-Persian Empire, and he says 70 weeks are determined, and that word determined is the Hebrew katak, which means cut off, and so 70 weeks, as we study, you know, the day for the year principle in Bible prophecy, we understand that those 70 weeks are 490 days, and more specifically 490 literal years. There are 490 prophetic days, 490 literal years, and they're cut off of this longer prophecy, the prophecy that we read about in Daniel chapter 8. That's the 2,300-year prophecy of Daniel 8:14. So
Jesus was cut off in the 69.
I'm sorry?
Jesus was cut off in the 69, right?
Okay, yeah, so what was, I just want to kind of summarize as we go along so we make sure that we're kind of seeing the same thing here. So 70 weeks were cut off for the Jewish people, and upon thy holy city, so Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, now, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal a vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy or the Most High. So who is that speaking about?
As far as the Most High?
Who did all that? Who finished transgression?
Jesus is the fulfillment of all of it.
Okay, so this verse then we can see is talking about Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And the 490 years were cut off for the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, so verse 25 then. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Okay, so 25, in your understanding, what is that saying?
25, as far as I can actually say that the prince will be shall be seven. Well, let me see. All right, it says, and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troubled times.
Right.
Okay.
But going back to it says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. Okay. So.
Well.
So what are you saying? Okay. Sorry. Go ahead, brother.
Well, as far as the Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. We know that. And even Jesus said that the temple would not stand. So,
I didn't catch what you said there.
Well, Jesus said that the temple would not stand.
I mean, let's just look at this verse though. Let's just look at the verse itself before we. So like I said in verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, so unto the Messiah.
Well, what I'm saying is that there are three when the different temples. Now, it says the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And to me, this is the way you ask me how I think about it. And I think that the last generation is not according to 1948. It's according to 1947, because there was a command that there's one rule that what happened in history is that the Bible says that the nation will be built in one day. So in one day, it's 1948, of course, May 14, 1948. But it says to know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem and to the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. Now, it's a two-score meaning to this. So the Bible always has, sometimes the Bible has, two time slots for something to be fulfilled.
But this is a specific prophecy. This is a specific prophecy within a specific time period. Okay.
Well, it has to do with Jesus. It has to do with the Jewish people.
Let me just kind of respond to what you said. Okay. So we have this 490 years for the Jewish people, and within that 490 years, you would have the Messiah. You would have the one who finishes the transgression, the one who makes the end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up vision and prophecy. Remember, the whole Old Testament is prophecy about Jesus Christ and to anoint the Most Holy. So 490 years for the Jewish people, all these things would take place. And then verse 25. Yeah, so hang on now, because let's say 490 specific years, and verse 25 gives us the starting point for that.
Okay.
Verse 25 says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment, okay, so that when that commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. So from that time unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 483 years.
Yes.
Okay? So from the going forth of the command to the Messiah, there's going to be 483 years. Okay?
He went and got on his donkey exactly at this time.
Let me just finish. Okay. Yeah. The question then is, when did that command take place? When did that command go forth to restore and build Jerusalem? Because that's your starting point for that.
Well, it came from one of the kings.
It was in Artaxerxes in 457 BC.
Yes.
Okay, 457 BC, 483 years out, you get to 27 AD, and that's when Christ was anointed. That's when he was baptized. It was in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, as you read about in Luke chapter 3. And so you calculate that out, because Tiberius Caesar became Caesar in 12 AD, 15 years. There's 27 AD. So then that time period, that 490 years, 483 years of it was from the time of the command going forth in 457 BC to 27 AD, and that's when Christ came as the Messiah. That's when he was anointed. Yeah. And then 3.5 years later, he was crucified.
Yeah.
Okay, and then as we continue in as we get to verse 20, let's just look at verse 26.
Okay.
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So keep it along with the same time frame of the same prophecy. Okay, 3.5 years. So after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ was. This is verse 26 is like a parenthetical statement within the overall prophecy here, and it says that he would be cut off not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come. So the people now are the focus of this sentence, not the prince. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. Obviously, that's talking about when the Roman army came and destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. And the people of the prince being Titus, the emperor Titus, but the people, the Roman army was the one that came in and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple and burned the city. And so then in verse 27 it says, and he shall confirm the covenant. Well, then he's Christ. That he is Christ, because that's the only other he that this passage referred to. Because the passage only referred to Christ. Remember back in verse 24, the one that would finish transgression and so forth. Then the only other people that were talked about outside of the 490 years being cut off for the Jews were the people of the prince. Okay,
well, first you got to tell me what happens in the last week.
Okay, all right, I'm gonna go there right now. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now I'm just going to turn real quickly to Matthew chapter 26. In verse 28, Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, because I heard you mention something about people not using the Bible, and I just want to, make sure that's not the case here. So Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, Jesus says, when he's talking, given the Last Supper, talking about the blood, drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. So Jesus died for many. You can see the same thing in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 as well. He says something similar. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life ransom for many. Okay, so when we go back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and it says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So this is we're talking about the last 7 years of this prophecy now. and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. So the sacrifice, the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, of the Jewish sanctuary system, was all a prefiguring of Jesus Christ. He was the fulfillment. He was the sacrificial lamb of the sanctuary service. So in his death, when the veil was torn in the sanctuary from top to bottom, that meant an end to the earthly sanctuary system. Okay, that's why.
Okay, can I come in? Because I only got 15 minutes. Let me explain something.
Okay. I just want to finish it because it's important here. Okay. So Jesus' death in the midst of that 7-year period, that's 3.5 years later, that's when he died in 31 A.D. In the midst of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overturning of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, that word desolate is the desolator. This last half of verse 27, the focus shifts to the Antichrist power. The focus shifts to the one that will bring the abominations that bring forth desolation, even until the consummation, which is the full end, and that determined shall be poured out upon him. That's the last 7 plagues of Revelation 16. So
okay,
this,
now back up for a second. When you were talking about this was Jesus, now back up for a second, though.
In 34 A.D., that's when the last of the 3.5 years, that's when Stephen was stoned and the gospel went to the rest of the world. That's where the gospel started to go to the Gentiles. That's the many that this covenant was for. It was for everyone. It wasn't just for the Jews. And that was the end of the 490 years. And it was cut off from within the 2,300-year prophecy.
Okay. Well, what I see in Matthew 24, verse 15, it says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination that is spoken of in the book of Daniel, the prophet, standing in the holy place, who readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judah flee unto the mountain." So Jesus is warning about the abomination that causes desolation, and he's warning the Jewish people already way back then, because in Matthew 24, they asked him, "When will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age?" So he's warning people against the abomination that causes desolation. So.
Yeah.
He's not going to be warning anybody against himself. The house divided against itself will not stand. So he'll be warning.
Just look at the one text at a time. So you said Matthew 24, verse 15. Okay. And so obviously the context here, because if you go back to Matthew 23, Jesus is with the disciples, and they're marveling at the splendor of the temple, and Jesus says, "Not one stone will be left unturned." And then they said, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Okay, so there's two scenarios here. You know, they say, "Tell us then, when shall these things be?" After Jesus says, "There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down," and so the disciples say, "When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So there's actually three questions, but they're specifically talking about when the temple would be destroyed. That was 70 A.D., and the end of the world at his coming. So there's two different scenarios. So Jesus then goes on to talk about things that would take place in the end times
Okay, that's fine. Okay. Now I want to know your take in about, I know you can't do this. I mean, I want you to come on another show, man. But I want you to give me your take on I sort of understand where you're going, but I want to know where you're coming from. And I would love to just have a, you know, to see where you're coming from completely, the overall, because you can actually sit here and be on the show, but I want to know where you're coming from. Are you a preterist? Are you a amillennialist, or are you a post-rapture person? I mean, are you
I can tell you
that there is. Do you believe everything already took place?
I can just tell you right now. I'm a historicist. I believe that the Bible was written with you know, the prophecy that started in Daniel chapter 2 begins story. It begins the story of end time prophecy. And if you stick within the Bible defined explanation and interpretation of the prophecy of Daniel chapter 2, you can't go wrong. But once you start to go outside of that prophecy that was defined by the Bible, not by anyone individually, the Bible defines the whole timeline itself. Speaking of Greece, speaking of Medo-Persia, and historicist is my point is where I'm coming from, and I believe what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Antichrist power is already in the world, and he will be destroyed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that Antichrist will be destroyed by the splendor of Jesus coming. There is no secret rapture. There is no 7 years after Christ comes. None of that is biblical. And if you have a firm understanding of Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, you can see that all of the other doctrines out there don't fit. They don't fit within the Bible-defined interpretation of the prophecy.
Here's the problem I have with that right there. Is I understand that the wrath of God is coming upon the whole world to test the whole world. It's the wrath of God. And Thessalonians, he told us that he will keep us as a corporate us out of the time of testing that's coming upon the whole world. Now, I don't see y'all problem with the rapture. I don't grasp it. If you want to be here in the tribulation period, then I say to you, have fun.
Hold on.
I'll let you talk. I believe that when you guys read too far into it, and I think if a child can pick up the word of God and see something, the Bible says if we do not approach God as a child, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, a child's perspective would be, where in the heck is the word church after chapter 6? It's not there. That would be a child's perspective. And it'll also be an adult's perspective, like someone who loves Christ and understands Jesus' nature. Now, like I said, if you want to be here, have fun. But I ain't going to be here. I'm going to tell you that because by faith, I am looking for Jesus. I am not looking for the Antichrist, brother. That's not my focus. That's not what I'm told to do. The people in the tribulation period, they need to be warned about the Antichrist. But I'm not going to be here.
You don't understand.
Sorry to tell you that. And I don't plan to. Now, I would rather be right. Then you'd be right.
Your doctrine is
not biblical. I apologize to you if we're still here.
Your doctrine is not biblical.
It is biblical. I'm telling you, the simplest thing you can look at is that the word church is missing. They said, I will build my church, but the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The saints, the way you can look at it, and I got 6 minutes. Okay, the way you can look at it is this. You have to find the wrath. You have to find who. I'll let you talk, man. Let me talk. You have to find whose wrath it is for the whole book of Revelation from chapter 6 to chapter 19. You have to find out who is appointed to that wrath. And if you find out who's appointed to the wrath, and notice in chapter, because it's too simple for you guys to understand. If chapters 1 to 3, the word church is mentioned 19 times, sir, and it's not mentioned anymore after chapter 6. What do you do with that?
But you're locked into
It'll take you 500. I can't explain that to a child. I can't explain that to my 12-year-old daughter. Well, Antiochus Epiphanes, blah, 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 chapter 999. That's cool. I do study the word of God like that. But the thing is, bro, God is to all nations. I'm not going to tell you that God is going to, his nature is to leave his people. If you love Jesus, it is finished. That's what he said on the cross. It is finished. So you telling me we have to go through the tribulation period, sir?
Understand.
To be purified? I mean, why are we going through the tribulation period? Tell me.
God kept the Israelites in Egypt. He's going to keep his people in the end times. Jesus says in
John... So you're telling me he made a rock that he can't lift?
But you don't understand the scripture.
I do understand. I'm telling you, if you can't, if you're telling me you could be your 13, if I had a 13-year-old daughter, which I do, I'm just saying it for the fun of it, I have a 13-year-old daughter, all right? And I have a 7-year-old child. Do you think they have to understand that all the things that's written in that Daniel chapter 9 to figure out that the word church is missing from the chapter 6 to chapter 19? That means a lot. The word let me finish up and then I'm done. The word saint. I would even extend the show. The word saint represents every Christian throughout history. And the word elect represents Israel. So when you say when people say that they don't believe in a rapture, and you know 2 Peter 3 talks about scoffers. Now, are they talking about people that's outside of the church? Yes. Are they talking about people inside of the church? Yes. Who says, where is the promise of his coming? There is no secret rapture. Come on. I mean, I'm reading for myself. I don't let no preacher tell me anything.
That's not what the text says. You just completely misrepresented the text.
What did I misrepresent?
You said okay, all right.
Let's go to the text then.
2 Peter chapter 3, and it says verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since
so how can I misinterpret that?
Can I finish? Can I finish?
I can't be perfect. Hey, man, I'm not going to be spot on everything. I'm just paraphrasing it. I mean, I can paraphrase the Bible. There's nothing saying I can't paraphrase the Bible. I'm just saying that scoffers is coming in the last days saying, where is the coming? I mean, it could be outside people. It could be inside. The Antichrist does not. You can't tell me he's coming unless he's Joel Osteen. He's coming from among us. They're antichrist from among us and outside of us, just like you're scoffer from among us and outside of us, son.
Are you going to extend the show so we can dialogue or not? Are you going to extend the show so we can dialogue or not?
Yeah, because that's why I'm probably mostly trying to get everything out. It sounds like I'm arguing with you. I apologize, but I'm trying to hurry up and get everything out, man, and it's coming out like it's arguing. But hold on for a second, man. I apologize for this, man. It's just like I'm trying to hurry up and get stuff out, and I'm not being able to articulate anything. Hold on for a second, man.
Okay.
Where are you from?
I'm from the D.C. area.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
man. How's the weather?
It's not that bad. It's been worse.
Okay, hold on for a second, man.
Okay.
I can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
No problem.
Let me go. I know my wife is going to be, you did what? Hold on. Okay, I had to hurry up and do it. Hold on. You know, we can actually keep going.
Yeah. There's someone in the chat room.
Told me that last time. I didn't know it. I wasn't even thinking about it, actually. You the one told me last time I could do that.
Okay.
I remember you saying that. All right, let me go back to the switchboard and see if it made it any different. Because they don't have, they do. So 90 minutes, okay, yeah, that's true. So they did it. So that's cool. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry. I won't be so argumentative this time because I tried to get everything out in 2 seconds. So go ahead.
Yeah, talking about tech, one text at a time, it's difficult to kind of jump around. But so
that's why I was doing that, man. The show was almost off. Go ahead, man.
That's why I want to go back to the foundation. I think when we're talking about Bible prophecy, it's important to talk about the foundation. And specifically when we're talking about end time prophecy, the foundation is given to us in the book of Daniel. So, you know, if we have an understanding of the prophecies of Daniel, then we can't go wrong when it comes to understanding the book of Revelation, because the two tie in together. And when you look at the book of Daniel and you see the prophecy of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and the kingdoms that represented Babylon, that said Babylon, you know, he said, "Thou, O king, art that head of gold." He was talking to Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon was that first empire. Then the next empire was the Medo-Persian Empire. It says it. We don't have to guess it. It says it in the Bible. The next empire after that historically was Greece. We don't have to speculate. It says it in the Bible. It says the king of Grecia in Daniel chapter 8. The same prophecy is repeated. Daniel chapter 2 is repeated in Daniel chapter 7. It's repeated in Daniel chapter 8. It's repeated in Daniel chapter 11. It's the same prophecy. It just continues to repeat itself, giving more information each time. And it more detail is filled in. And what we see is that this fourth kingdom, the legs of iron, is not named, but obviously historically we know that Rome was the next empire that took over from the kingdom of Greece. So historically that fits. And we know from history we call the iron monarchy of Rome. So we know that Rome was symbolized in the legs of iron in this statue in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And then
the feet
were iron and clay. So what that symbolized was a division, because remember it said this kingdom would be divided, because Rome was not conquered. Rome was divided into all the kingdoms that ultimately settled into the 10 kingdoms of Europe. And so that was symbolized by the 10 toes of this statue. The feet and
so
the toes iron and clay.
Hang on, because
there's an end time implication as well. But that's why I said Daniel and Revelation tie in together. So the feet of iron and clay was a mixture of the Roman state power and the Roman spiritual power. Okay, it was the Roman Catholic Church.
Hey man, hold on for a second. We're gonna take a commercial break and we'll be right back. Okay, sorry about that. I hear the baby in the back. I gotta go to the things and check. Hold on. Sorry about that.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays, 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same, because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Oh,
there. My name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone.
We got 24 more minutes. I'm going to have to run after that. I got a busy household. My newborn is being a newborn. She's a good baby, though. She just kind of cries when I have radio programs on. She sort of like has her own time watch or something. And well, anyways, my wife laid her down. She's fixing her a bottle. Really cute little baby. I love her. All my kids, they're all brats, especially my one-year-old. Well, we're going on two, and he has good timing on the shows, too. And it seems like when you get on the telephone and you're talking to a relative, good conversations, all the kids show up like magnets. So same thing for the radio program. But anyway, let's get back to our conversation, brother.
Okay. So... again, just going back to this timeline now, so we understood Rome to be the legs of iron, and then the feet of iron and clay were the feet representing the state power of Rome, and the clay representing the spiritual power of Rome. So you have this Roman Catholic Church system, and then, you know, that's the system that rules in the divided state of the Roman Empire. And history fulfilled this through the Roman Catholic Church being the only church throughout the Middle Ages. And then you have the rock that destroys the statue, and that represents the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So, and when Christ comes, as it says in the book of Revelation, every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, when Christ comes again, he's going to destroy the Antichrist power by the splendor of his coming. So when Christ comes again, which I believe is not too far off, given the signs of the times around us, when Christ comes, it's not going to be a secret event. It's not going to be something that's done, you know, Christ, God does nothing in secret, as he says in his word. So every eye will see him, and then when Christ comes in the sky, the dead in Christ shall rise first and be caught up, be raptured up with him, and then those who are alive will be translated and translated into glorious bodies, as Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll join them in the sky. But what's important to understand is that there's going to be times of trouble prior to Christ coming. God says that he will protect his people throughout those times of trouble. 1,000 will fall by thy right, 10,000 by thy right hand, 1,000 by thy left hand. I know I'm not saying that correctly, but the point is, it's a passage in Psalm, I think Psalm 91. The point in John 17, when Jesus is praying, he says, I pray not to take them out of the world, but that he's with us and he's going to keep us. And Paul writes in Corinthians that things that happened to the Israelites were an example for us. And when we see the example of the Israelites coming out of Egypt, where God cast down all those plagues on the land, and, you know, in certain instances, the plagues didn't affect the Israelites. The plagues only affected the Egyptians. Well, it's going to be the same thing in the last seven plagues. The last seven plagues are only going to impact those that are still in the Babylon system. But those who are in Christ will be spared. They'll be saved. They'll be kept through the times of tribulation. But the point
is... Jesus said this is going to be the worst time in history. And for me to believe that... and I'll let you talk, because I'll have shows based on the rapture, and I won't really have any guests, but I'll just let you go ahead and continue on. But the thing I have a problem with is that I believe that Jesus, actually Jude, said that I saw the Lord come with 10,000 of his saints. And I believe that the people that's coming back with Jesus, the 10,000 of the saints, 10,000 is the church itself.
Okay,
and I don't believe the pop-up theory. I don't believe that we're raptured and then immediately we come back down with them. I just don't believe that.
Understand that word where it says saints, it's the word hagios. It means the holy ones. It's the talking about the same word is all elsewhere used in the New Testament, and it's talking about angels. It's not talking about literal saints. That's you're talking about a translation of the original word. You got to go back to the original word. The original word I think it's hagios, because hagion is holy place, and hagios is holy, like a holy entity, a holy being.
This is what I believe as far as his word is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce every deep thing in a human. But I believe that the word of God is curated not for everybody to do a Greek study. And what I mean by that is when I'm overseas, let me speak. When I was overseas in the army, I didn't have time to do a Greek study to translate the Bible. He's given us the Word of God to read it on its own for ourselves. So if you got the time to do a Greek study, that's fine. But I want to read the Word of God and translate it without doing a Greek study. And when you start doing these Greek studies, to me, you miss the house. Let me explain what I mean. I like to read, let's just say I'm reading right now Titus 2:2. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Okay, so when I'm reading that, I don't want to have to, every time I pick up the Bible, I'll do it. But I don't want to have to. I want to be able to read the Word of God without always doing a Greek study and talk about the Word of God without always saying, "Well, it says in the Greek, temperate." I mean, I don't want to do. I just want to hear God. God knows that a 7-year-old child or a 16-year-old child is not always going to do a Greek study. Neither is a person in the army who's busy. So when you say, "Well, in the Greek, this means this and this," I know it says 10,000 of his things. That's the way I read it and interpret it. I don't have the time to show people how smart I am. I'm not the smartest person in the world, brother, but I can interpret the Word of God.
So what you're saying then is that you're leaving your doctrine up to your own private interpretation.
No, I didn't say that. I can read the Book of Jude. I can tell you what the Word of God is saying.
Okay,
I can't sit up here and have a discussion and always tell you everything in the Greek. I'm not going to do that.
Let me ask you another question.
What happens is when you're talking to me and I'm talking to you and we're trying to communicate, if I told you, well, if God wanted me to read this in the Greek, he would have had the man wrote it in the Greek. I mean, we don't have a Greek Bible. We have an English Bible with English words. So I'm not always gonna be sit up here and listen to somebody say, well, I don't want to hear in the Greek. I want to hear in English what the Bible says.
Okay, but Phil, do you understand though that you're limiting yourself in that situation is causing you to
complain? Well, that's fine. I limit myself, brother. But I'm gonna tell you this.
You're misinterpreting.
God is not stupid. He's given me the word, and it says in the Hebrew that his word is more sharper than a two-edged sword. So I know that his word is capable of accomplishing the mission without me having to go and study the Greek. I mean, I'll study it. There's no way in the world I'm going to be able to communicate anything with you if I always have to use the Greek. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, all right, fine. Okay, I accept that then. Okay, fine. So where it says it in Hebrews 4 about the word being sharper than the two-edged sword, what was God just talking about in Hebrews 4? Where he was talking about the Sabbath, actually, in Hebrews chapter 4. So where God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, do you think that there's...
Let me ask you a question. I always refer to this as a child. When my 7-year-old child sits down here and reads this Bible, or my 13-year-old child, do you think they're going to be talking about the Sabbath? No, she's going to read exactly what it's reading.
Okay, so when it says...
I'm glad we do studies. But first of all, a lot of people who study the Bible forget the foundation. Look at the faith movement. This is something I found in the Bible. Look what the new doctrine I found. The reason why you found a new doctrine is because the foundation was stripped. Somewhere along the line, the foundation, the basics of Christianity is stripped.
Question about the Sabbath then. Answer my question about the Sabbath.
Well, the Sabbath, I'll answer your question, but I understand that Hebrew is a book written with weird ways symbolic things about the priesthood, and it's about Israel, and it's about all these things, but at the same time, I'm reading to you what I read on the surface.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, Phil, is what do you think about the Sabbath? What do you think about the Sabbath based on what the Bible says?
Every day is a Sabbath, brother.
Okay, so you don't believe God takes it apart a holy day.
I believe that every day, the Bible says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. Every day is a Sabbath.
But that's not
every
what I'm asking.
You can keep like a Sabbath. You might want to hang up on me but when I get done telling you this, but I'm telling you, if my 13-year-old child can't read this, the Bible says, approach him as a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to study it.
Phil, you answer.
You know the Pharisees and the Sadducees got off on studying the Bible? They got off on orator. They got off on all this stuff, brother. It's not about that. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about the simplicity of Jesus.
You never answer what the Bible says. You never answer saying the Bible says. You always answer saying, well, I think or I believe. You never say the Bible says.
Brother, I'm telling you right now, there's no way in the world, brother, that I'm going to sit up here and read this and get anything out of it rather than what's on the surface. I just can't see it. I've studied the Word of God, but I'm not going to, brother, I am not. We're in the last day. I don't have the time to try to memorize you with what the Bible says. I'll tell you what it's saying. Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore, fearless of promise being lifted up, enter into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. That's what I read. He's telling us, let us enter into his rest. Because I'm gonna miss the spirituality of this thing if I'm always trying to dig something out of it other than what it's saying. First, let the Word of God say what it's gonna say. Build a foundation, and then once you get the foundation, then you come out and you find these things. Because I'm telling you, you asked me a question, didn't you? You asked me a little question, and I'm answering the question for you. If you want to say I'm saying this and I'm saying that, that's fine. But this God has given me the Word of God.
Where's
and
your foundation?
See, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I can't do anything with that, brother, but what did you say to me? Verse 3. For we which have believed, you enter into the rest. I can't get any practicality. I can't grow in the faith unless I can get the word of the surface of that word. So for you to tell me, what is that? What are you saying? I'm telling you. This is what I get. I don't have any sound. There is, okay, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of the soul and the spirit, and the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the tenth of the heart.
Okay,
I can't get these Sabbath stuff out there, brother.
You just skipped the most important passage of the whole thing.
Brother, I'm reading the whole thing. I can read the whole thing right now. We got 10 minutes left. But I'm trying to tell you, when you're going from thing to thing, you're going from place to place, I understand that. But what I'm telling you, what I'm seeing, brother, is I'm seeing what the Word of God is saying. And every time I bring up a scripture, you say, let's go to that scripture, and that's it. I'm telling you, you ask me, what do I see? And I'm telling you, I'm seeing things that can help me grow in the faith, the just shall live by faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So when I read it, I'm increasing. Amen,
you,
brother.
You take care.
I mean, I don't want to have a talk about what this means and what that means. We need to study. We need to study God's word. But we need this is in the last days. We need to prepare. That is exactly why we don't prepare for his coming, because if the rapture happens tomorrow or next year or next never, what does it matter, son, brother? Let's just eat, drink, and do what you want to do. But let's study the Bible and show people how smart we are. I don't get anything out of it other than what it's saying. Now, I can study the Hebrew, the Greek, I can study the Italian version, the coconut version. I can study all of that stuff, but if I can't grow in the grace and the knowledge of the truth, what good is it? I mean, if there's no blessed hope about the rapture, what good is it? I'm just miserable like all other men. I mean, what hope do I have? You know what they say about the person who commits suicide? They lose hope. You know what they say about people that lose on the battlefield? Generally, the soldiers lose hope. That's what's going on over there in Iraq. A lot of the soldiers are losing hope. And see, God put in this Bible that we are to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I understand we should study to show ourselves approved of workmen, that Jesus not be ashamed. I understand that. Brother, I understand that. But the thing is, you're not going to catch me on 2 hours and say, well, we just do, you know, the Greek says, all this stuff. I don't care about all of that stuff. If he wanted me to read the Greek, Greek Bible, he would have translated. God would have overseen the translation in Greek. Now, I think we could, to make us stronger, as long as the foundation of the gospel stays strong, then we can go out and study these things. I'm saying me, yes, I, me, and that's the wrong thing to say in the gospel, but I'm trying to tell him I'm reading the surface. And I've dug into the Word of God. I'm telling you, man, I think we should dig into the Word with caution. Because what the devil loves for us to do is dig into the Word and then leave the basics of Christianity. Leave the doctrine of Christianity stranded. While we go fishing, and he'll get us offline and off target, what are we supposed to be doing? And that is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in these last days. Now, if I'm told to look for the Antichrist, then we're going to be looking for Obama's the Antichrist. Is Queen Elizabeth the Antichristess? Is her son, grandson, great-great-grandson, the one that
great, great, great grandson there. I mean, just come on. What we need to do is get ready for Jesus coming, folks. And his coming may be very quick. And I apologize if I seem pretty hype, but it's just the matter of the Word of God is the first thing that we should be looking at, and we should get the foundation right. And like I said earlier, if you're going to get ready for the Super Bowl, you got the Colts and the Saints in the Super Bowl, if you're going to get ready for that Super Bowl, you need to practice, right? You know, with the date of the Super Bowl, you need to practice, you need to get ready. Well, the Christians today, we don't think that Jesus Christ is coming back until we get all kinds of proof. And we need the total proof. We need the tribulation proof. We need rocks falling from the sky, falling on the truck, we need 2012 movie and all of this, you know, all of this corruptness and backdraft and some of our fears to take place before we acknowledge that Jesus will come back for his church. And I don't think that's correct, the right thing, man. I don't think that's the right thing. So when we, I don't have any, I'm going to tell you this, man. I don't have any angles to a radio program but to preach the gospel. That's all. And from now on, I'm going to make sure simple people who are going to stay simple with the Bible, the gospel. And that's good to have people on here who know and not, you know. But First of all, I'm not going to be treated like a dummy. that's not what I'll be treated like. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'll I'm not going to say too much. I'm going to probably tell the next person on my show, don't ask me any questions. Don't ask me any hypothetical questions. Because if I ask the question the way I want to answer the question, you're going to say, well, look at this. Don't ask me no questions. So for anybody listening to my show, going to be on my show, please don't ask me. You can ask me one or two questions. That's it. I'm not here to be questions to take a test. I know my Bible. Sometimes I'll ram it down your throat if you come on my show because you're supposed to be, you know, I just let him on because he's a guest. I'm not going to, you know, hold you and ask you 50,000 questions. You're going to sit there and ask me questions and stuff about what, I mean, that's fine. But I know when I'm getting off of Daniel chapter 9. I know when I'm getting off of Hebrews chapter 4. I know what the abomination that causes desolation is. I mean, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I do know some stuff. But if you cannot approach the king, and I found arrogant, you know, when I say that, and I apologize. But I don't want to be, you know, approached as if I have to know the Greek to enter into heaven. Now, the Greek might help, you know, to understand the key words in the Word of God, but the devil loves us to get on a tangent and get off on base, and even I have to be corrected, man. I have to know when I'm off. And, I apologize to that brother, but we're in the last days. We can't afford to be studying the Greek. We got to study the Bible. Say, well, in the Bible, you are studying the Greek from the Bible. What are you talking about? If I'm going to study all day, I can probably read two, three books before I'm sitting at one book studying the Greek. I think you should study the Greek or whatever it is, or Hebrew, whatever you want to do. Study it. Study it. But at the same time, make sure you got a good grasp of the foundation of the Word of God, the basics that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and then we accept him. He accepted us first. He died for us. But we ask him to come into our lives, not, and ask him to be our Lord and Savior. And we live like that daily. He don't accept us. Like that, like I say, well, he, you know, I accept him He accepts us the way we are. That's what I meant. So I'm making it sound like we accept him. I didn't mean to say it like that. But God bless everybody out there. And you have a wonderful day.
Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
God bless. Have a wonderful day.
Excuse me.